heard God's, have you heard God say, I love you? I want to spend time with you. I want a relationship with you that begins, oh, let's forget the word begins, that makes a difference in life. Pick up on these three verses that I've got projected for you. And keep in mind, God's request to be with you, make a difference in you. Please join with me on these three verses, would you? Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy. You are to be holy to me, because I, the Lord, am holy. And I have set you apart from the nations to be my own people. In this call of God, oh, there's a call for personal responsibility. Consecrate yourselves. Keep God's decrees. Love one another. You know, all that good stuff. But then there's that phrase. It goes beyond act holy, do nice. Notice what it says. Be holy. You are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy. Being, character. Be holy. And there's the emphasis, then there's the emphasis of what God does in us. I am the Lord who makes you holy. I have set you apart from the nations to be my own people. We focus a lot on the first one, responsibility. The second part of that, be holy, gets a little more nervous. And this, I am the Lord who makes you. I'm not sure how we respond to that. What is God wanting to do in our lives? We've been talking about God's desire to sanctify us, humans, making us holy. A week ago, I began identifying the means by which God does this work in our lives. He works through our faith in Jesus as Lord, we noticed last week. Next week, I'm going to be looking at, he sanctifies us by his word. Jesus said, Father prayed, Father, sanctify them through the truth. Your word is truth. God sanctifies us by the Holy Spirit. But I want to emphasize this part of it. God sanctifies us through the blood of Jesus. It's the theme I want us to really look at it. God's work in us. Remember, God makes us holy. I appreciate the idea of striving to be what God wants us to be, but I'm wanting to spend some time talking about what God does in us and through us. And the scripture is very clear. God sanctifies us. That is, he makes us holy by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. Now, this part of Christianity for a long time, especially as a kid growing up, 50s and 60s, just all by the blood of Jesus. Why don't you just talk about the life of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, you know, the blood of Jesus? That sounded sort of gruesome. And what does that mean? The blood of Jesus. Growing up, we sang about the blood of Jesus, a lot of songs. One of the songs went this way. I'm not going to sing it because I want you to hear the lyrics. The blood that Jesus once shed for me as my redeemer upon the tree, the blood that sets the prisoner free, will never lose its power. Of course, as a kid, basically, I just thought, you know, prisoners in jail. But is there more to it than that? It gives us access to God on high. From far off places, it brings us nigh to precious blessings that never die. It will never lose its power. It is a shelter for rich and poor. It is to heaven the open door. The sinner's merit forevermore. It will never lose its power. And when with all the blood-washed throng, now that was a phrase that just really grabbed me as a kid. A part of the blood-washed, I don't know about you, when I cut myself and bled on a shirt, the stains came and Mom would say, oh, we got to clean it out again. I had a blood-washed throng. What does it mean? We'll pass the glorious truth along. It has never lost its power. And then there'd be the refrain, it will never lose its power. It will never lose its power. The blood that cleanses from all sin will never lose its power. Well, what's this all about anyway? Well, then we'd have communion. And the emphasis, remember the body and the blood of Jesus. The bread is the body of Jesus, and we use juice instead of wine. What does it mean? Why is it so important to modern civilized people? Isn't that an ancient, just crude way of worship? Or is there something more to it? Is it just a memory, a metaphor? What is this blood of Jesus that does so much for us? But then you get to looking in the Bible, and the New Testament identifies numerous benefits of the blood of Jesus. Well, instead of me reading it, join with me, would you please? It pays the penalty for our sins. Whoa. It pays the penalty for our sins. Number two, it gives life to those who consume it. We talk about drinking the blood of Jesus. Jesus, in fact, at one point said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. That's gruesome. Number three, it causes us to dwell in Christ and he in us. Number four, it is the means by which God purchased the church. Number five, it is the means by which Jesus becomes our atonement. Number six, it justifies us and saves us from God's wrath. It redeems us from the way of sin. It brings those who are far away from God near to him. It grants the forgiveness of sins. It brings peace and reconciliation to God. Number 11, it has obtained eternal redemption for us. It cleanses our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. It is the means by which we enter into the most holy place with boldness. That's heaven. It makes us complete for every good Wow, that's an interesting one. It makes us complete to do every good work. Number 15, it cleanses us from all? Really? Well, number 16, there's a lot of things going on here with the blood of Jesus, isn't there? It bears witness to Jesus along with the Spirit and the water. It is the means by which Jesus frees us from sin. It is the means by which Jesus washes us. It is the means by which we overcome Satan, the accuser of the believers. Do you believe that? Do you really believe you have power to overcome Satan? By the blood of Jesus. And then, the one that I really want to focus on for a few minutes, it sanctifies us. That is, it makes us holy. 20 different things the blood of Jesus does. I mean, even in those, there were some terms that are just hard for us to grasp. The blood of Jesus. Now, don't feel like you have to write all those down. Becky has them included in this November notifier. So it's there for you if you want to take a look at them and study them with scripture references. The blood of Jesus does all of this. So, questions. How does the blood of Jesus do these things? Because a lot of those we're talking about what God does in us. It's important when you're studying scripture, who's doing the action, what is the action, who's the recipient of the action. If you've had some good grammar in school, you know, there was a part of grammar, you know. There's the subject of the sentence, the doer of the action. There's the action, and there's the recipient of the action. And when you look at these, it's God working in us. So how does the God of the blood of Jesus do these things? Is there a relationship between the death of Jesus and the sacrificial system of the Old Testament? What was the purpose of the sacrifices identified in the Old Testament of Judaism? What does this really mean for us in 21st century? Is there something more to it than memory? To answer that, we have to step back and set that subject, that question aside for a minute, and we need to understand something. Life is a gift of God. Scripture says God formed Adam from the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Then Adam became a living being. Oh, he had created the plants and the grass, and there was life in those. They grow, they absorb moisture from the ground, they absorb sunlight, and there's life. But there's something different in this breath breathed into Adam. Then there were the animals, you know, again, there's life, and in your interaction with, you know, like dogs and cats, and so I hear people talk about personalities. But there's something different here that's different from the animals. God breathed into Adam a pile of dust, a dirt bag. And he became a living being, a living being, body, soul, and spirit, with capacity for relationship with God and unique relationships with one another. It's a gift of God. It's a part of the creation. The ancient man Job observed, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." Moses has this word to us from the Lord. The Lord says, "There is no God besides me. I put to death and I bring to life." The Apostle Paul was in the middle of a bunch of philosophers in Athens one day. Opportunity came for him to teach about Jesus. To those philosophers, the Apostle Paul said, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all people life and breath and everything else. God did this so that all people would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being." There's something in our relationship with God that gives life more than breath. It's relationship, it's purpose, it's uniqueness. It's God to the young lady in the video. "I want to have a relationship with you." I've already forgotten her name. God knows. He wants relationship with us. He gives life. He gives breath. When you look at it, the life birthed in each one of us at conception comes from the breath of God breathed into Adam at the creation. Sometimes we have the picture, here's God, he's sitting there one day, he's twiddling his thumb, not knowing, "I'll just create some more humans. And I'll make one, this one introvert, and that one extrovert." What if God just got this thing started? A unique process. And as your mom and dad got together, and you were conceived, they passed on the life of God. If we'd stop here and put a parenthesis in, that makes abortion even worse than it's ever been. It's interrupting what God is doing. Passing on life. The scripture says the life of every living creature is in its blood. That's why I have said to the Israelites, you must not eat the blood of any creature, because the life of every creature is its blood. Anyone who eats it must be cut off. Murder is taking the life of a human being. Shedding of someone's blood is taking the life that is a gift of God. Whether it's the crime of murder or the taking of an innocent infant, it's murder. Life is in the blood. But then we have to take another aspect of this. It'll all come together. Sin alienates us from relationship with God, who is life. Alienated from God, we are dead. So life in Scripture is more than just breathing, eating, enjoying life. Full life is found in relationship with God, who created and designed all things. The scripture says the wages of sin is death. The word sin is a word meaning to fall short of God's glory and his design. We are told that the Lord God commanded that man, Adam, that he had made into a human. "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." Something happens. We're alienated from God. Speaking through the prophet Ezekiel, we hear this word, The one who sins is the one who will die. And then he emphasizes, we are responsible for us. I can't blame mom and dad for me. I can't blame sister, brother for me. I can't blame teacher. I'm responsible for me. Sin alienates us from God and brings death. Speaking of this alienation, the Apostle Paul, in a letter to the Ephesians, wrote, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Picture is, you thought you were alive, but separated from God, you were not alive. You were only partially alive. When you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. It's God working in us. It's not what we deserve. Back to the lady. I gave the homeless man some money. He says, thank you, I appreciate that. And Jimmy really enjoyed it. There's something more. See, God provided forgiveness for sins, reconciliation with himself as a source of life through the substitute of a sacrificial death. Friends, forgiveness is never cheap. It is not free. It's so expensive, you can't buy it, says the scripture. The life of the creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Our society wants us to hear, God loves us, so therefore he's always going to forgive us. God's forgiveness comes at expensive price. The shedding of a substitute life. Without the shedding of blood, the scripture says, there is no forgiveness for sins. Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, gave his life as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. The blood of Jesus refers to his life and his death on the cross. Jesus meeting with his disciples the evening before he was crucified, shared with them Passover meal, and gave us that sacrament we now call the Lord's Supper. Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness is purchased by God with the blood of Jesus for you and for me. Jesus said he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for all. If you want a deeper study, Hebrews chapters 9 and 10 teach that Jesus became the supreme sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. The New Testament teaches that through the death and resurrection of Jesus, God defeated Satan and provided full sanctification for you and me. The poured out blood of Jesus on our behalf, substitute. But in that death and resurrection, God defeated Satan and the powers of hell. That's why the scripture later says, by the blood of Jesus, we overcome Satan, the accuser of the believers. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I remind you today, forgiveness is never free. God's forgiveness is not free. It required a substitute death, but here it is. While we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. He paid the price we could not pay. The gift of God is eternal life. Forgiveness with eternal life is a gift of God purchased with the blood of Jesus. Oh, I just summarize it again. Through the blood of Jesus, God grants eternal life, declares and makes us righteous, redeems us from sin and from bondage to sin, redeems us from sin, draws us close to himself, cleanses our consciences so that we might serve him, forgives our sins. Through Jesus, we have confidence to enter into the very presence of God and cry with our deepest needs. By the blood of Jesus, God cleanses us from all sin, the scripture says. God frees us from sin. God empowers us to overcome Satan, the accuser of the brothers. God sanctifies us all through the blood of Jesus. Andrew Murray, writer, pastor from South Africa, late 1800s into the early 1900s, said, "The blood of Jesus is the greatest mystery of eternity, the deepest mystery of the divine wisdom." Won't take time. Later, songwriter, "The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, will never lose its power. It soothes my doubts and calms my fears. It dries all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day will never lose its power." Jesus suffered crucifixion for us. Next week, I'm going to continue talking about the means by which God sanctifies us through the Word, through the Holy Spirit. Then I've got some other topics I'm going to pick up because I want us to hear this. But the bottom is, God made provision to make us holy. It's not just his declared word. He provided it through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so with that in mind this morning, I want us to take time. I want us to take time to participate in communion. And I want you to think about the blood of Jesus poured out for you and me on a cross. The bread broken for us, his body, revealing God to us, suffering for us, the cup, blood of Jesus, poured out for us to make us whole.